Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Let no one think more of himself than he ought to. Well, that's a great passage. Just to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to humble myself. I really am no better than anyone else. Even if I've achieved anything, even if there's a success in my life, even if I have money, even if I have looks or fame, I'm no better than anybody else.
But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That's just one of several verses on humility found in the Gospels, because Jesus painted the perfect picture of what humility looks like when we live it. When we don't need to be or prove anything to anyone, because we're more concerned with serving and sharing Christ with others. Stay right here for more from John chapter 13 in our series, I Believe. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Everything you have anyway that you might be prideful about has been given to you. There's nothing you receive, the Bible says, that hasn't been given to you. You look in the mirror and go, pretty good looking. Well, you didn't get to choose. You weren't up in heaven and saying, Lord, I'll do a little extra work if you make me really good looking. You are a recipient of God's grace. If you have the ability to be able to make money, that was given to you by God. You didn't have that as a, you know, again, a decision beforehand. If you are really, really smart, that's God's grace as well. Anything that you have. And so if you are good looking, or if you're smart, or you are intelligent, which I guess is the same as smart, me not so much. if you're blessed with fame, if you you don't really have to have talent, kind of like Brad Paisley's song, Celebrity. One day I'm going to be famous. Do I have talent? Well, no. These days you don't really need it because of reality shows, right? End of quote from Brad Paisley. If you're blessed to be able to have made something of your life, if you're blessed to be able to have achieved, if you're blessed with money, if you're blessed with finances, you're blessed with looks, then the Bible says, don't trust in the uncertainty of your riches, but be willing to share, because things could go south. Everything that you have could be taken away from you. So there's no reason for you to feel that you are any better than a person who is without a home on a street corner holding a sign. We save there by the grace of God, go I. And I'll say, that's not just a saying. It really is the truth. God has been so good to us, and we have been so blessed. But remember, the scriptures say that when there's much given, there's much that is expected, required. God expects that from us. There is also false humility, and we want to stay away from false humility. I did a teaching on humility now probably 15 years ago. We were in I remember it being on the East Campus. It was the where we were next door in what is now the mini chapel. And throughout the study, I just kind of kept saying, humble yourself, get low, and then get lower, and then get lower, and then get lower. Humble yourself, don't think much of yourself. And afterwards, a guy who's very involved with the church came to me and said, I really don't agree with you on your study. He says, I think that that's false humility. He says, I think that if you're good at something, you ought to be proud that you're good at it. And I said, I just have to disagree with you. I think that that's not false humility. If you're good at playing the piano, you're good at it. You know you're good. And someone comes to you and says, I was so blessed by your piano playing. You are so good. It's false humility to say, no, I'm not. I'm really not good. You know you're good. That's false humility. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about if you play the piano well, that you are good or very good, and you begin to think that you're better than someone who doesn't. That's pride. Pride is that when you think because of something that you've achieved, a skill, you may even have gained that skill. You probably had some propensity. If you're really good at it, you probably had some propensity for music anyway, but you worked hard to be able to get where you were. I'm not talking about false humility. It's like when someone comes up to a pastor and says, "Boy, your study really touched me." "Well, it wasn't me, it was God." Well, we all understand that, okay? We all know that. But there's a false humility. I'm not talking about false humility. I'm talking about thinking that you're better than someone else. And there is spiritual pride. And this often is manifested in churches. And I don't know of anything, I know a few things that are uglier than spiritual pride. It's when you feel that you are closer to God, that you have a direct line to God and other people don't have it. And you kind of flaunt that over people. You say things in such a way that, you know, you make someone feel bad and that you've got it figured out and that they don't have it figured out. It's that spiritual pride, and it should never be in a church at all. We should never think that we are. Jesus said, "Don't hinder the children to come unto me." God used a donkey in the Old Testament. He had to be saying something when he used a donkey in the Old Testament. If God could use a donkey, then he could use a donkey today. Meaning you don't have to be something special for God to use you. When God uses you, well, God chooses to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chooses to use people that he can be glorified from. And too often, when we get that spiritual pride, we end up with what I call evangelical Phariseeism. We feel we're better than others. Because I achieve my rules. I do what I say. I know the scriptures. What does the Bible say? Knowledge puffs up. That's making you proud. I know the Bible. I can quote it. I know better than you. But what does it say about love? Love edifies. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If you want God on your side, then humble yourself. If you really are mature, if you really are mature, then love is going to be the marker of your life, not spiritual pride. You're not going to lord over people. You're not going to flaunt it over people. You're not going to talk in such ways where you make someone feel like they are inferior to you. You're going to love them. You're going to care about them. See, Jesus never did. Jesus wasn't afraid to get next to the Bible. You know, the Bible says, be associated with the humble. You know what it means when it says to be associated with the humble? It means as Christians, let's hang out with the people nobody else wants to hang out with. Be associated with the humble. Because there are the famous and the effective, the good looking that everybody wants to rub shoulders with. And God says, I want you to go out and minister to the humble. And I want you to be humble. And so the Bible says pride comes before a fall. So that if you are prideful, then you'll stumble. Why would God cause you to stumble if you become prideful? Because God loves you. Because God hates pride. It's not that God hates you when you're prideful. It's that it's so hideously ugly to God on you that God says, let's get rid of that. A few years after we had started, it might have been 2 or 3 years after we'd started, we'd been doing our Thursday night services for a while. And my brother-in-law came to visit. That particular Thursday night, our sanctuary was only the West Campus. And our sanctuary sat tops 300 people. We had pews, tops you could squeeze 300 in. That particular night, Thursday night Bible study, we had standing room only. And I was really excited about it. My brother-in-law's there, standing room only. The worship was just off the hook. It was just really good. The room was singing and packed and going to town. And I jumped up on the stage when it was time to teach, and a cord from the microphone was hanging across the stage. Hit the cord and hit the stage. Everybody gasped. And I hopped up. And when I'm okay, and I looked at the cord like, stupid cord reached up and got me. But I do have to wonder if in that moment there just wasn't a little bit of a check from God saying, just be careful. Just be careful. Because pride comes before a fall. In this case, literally. The Bible also says that God will exalt the humble and he will bring down the prideful. Which means that if you are willing to humble yourself, if you do, what is it, Philippians 2 again? That says, put other people's interest above your own interest. There's another passage that says, let no one think more of himself than he ought to. Well, that's a great passage. Just to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to humble myself. I really am no better than anyone else. Even if I've achieved anything, even if there's a success in my life, even if I have money, even if I have looks or faith, I'm no better than anybody else. And Lord, I'm going to humble myself before people, and I'm going to humble myself before you, and I'm going to walk in the love of Christ. Do you know what the Bible says God will do? He will exalt you. And if you exalt yourself, if you're always trying to achieve, always trying to climb the ladder, then God will humble you. A few years ago, I got an invitation to the Senior Pastors Planning Board for Calvary Chapel. It's the first time that I'd ever been able to go. There were a great deal of men that I had looked up to my whole life who were at this meeting. It was 20 or 25 people. An invitation was highly coveted. When you got an invitation as a senior pastor to go, it was the planning board for a conference. So you sat around and you planned the conference. But Raul Ries and Greg Laurie and Mike McIntosh and Don McClure and Pastor Chuck, and I could go on with names that some of you guys who are familiar with Calvary Chapel and men that have been used by God at Calvary Chapel were there. About, I don't know, halfway through it, I kind of realized that there was some striving going on. And it was a little disappointing to me that even in the midst of Calvary Chapel, that there was politics being played. People were striving for positions. People were rushing in to sit by Pastor Chuck. People were giving Pastor Chuck compliments. It's, you know, kind of overly sickeningly so. And I realized, you know, Lord, Calvary Chapel really isn't different than any other movement. We're just a movement. We're just something that you've chose to reach out to the world. And if we don't humble ourselves before you, then you won't exalt us. But if we could humble ourselves, if we could somehow just humble ourselves, and I'm not saying any of those guys I listed, by the way, were doing that, all right? Just so you know. I'm just saying I saw it there and I was greatly disappointed at it. And the Lord spoke to my heart directly because I certainly am not above that. Just to stay humble, to say, you know what, I just want to be used by God. When I first surrendered my life to the Lord to preach, when I first really gave my life to him to preach, I'd already given my life as a Christian. But when I first had told him, okay, Lord, I think I'm gifted in this. I think you've given me the gift of teaching. And I told God, I'll go anywhere. I'll preach to 5 people. And I also threw in on the other end of it, I'll preach to 5,000. I kind of had that thrown into the prayer. But I liked that heart. And I think it's a good heart, but when I look back on it, I like that I prayed that prayer, Lord, and I hope that I would keep it. Lord, just use me and be glorified. We could say as John the Baptist did, let me decrease and let you increase. And if we were a church like that, If there was a spiritual pride peeking up and people thinking that they're better than others because of their knowledge or how long they've done something, if we all walked in that kind of humility, don't you think we would be more effective in our evangelism? People would come in and see the humility above us. God would be the one who would exalt us, and it would be a powerful thing. And it's good for us to all examine our hearts, especially if you are in ministry, especially if you have ambition at all. The disciples had ambition. They wanted to be greater than each other. And this is big ambition. I mean, look at James and John. They brought their mom to ask Jesus, "Can my son one sit in your left and one sit at your right throughout all of eternity? Be the two most important people throughout all of eternity besides you, of course, Jesus." That's ambitious. And I also love that Jesus didn't rebuke them for their ambition, but he redirected it. He said, "You want to be great in the kingdom of God." The world does things differently. In the world, rulers lord over people. But that ought not to be so in the church. He said, in the kingdom of God, you want to be great, learn to be a servant to all. That's true greatness. When we can serve one another. When we can say, "What can I do?" I talk to our staff about a heart of what can we do to facilitate bringing the people that God has given us to Him, to enhance the walk. What can we do? How can we serve? Boy, that's so true for all of us. If Jesus would get up and put on that towel that all those guys had passed by because, and knowingly, by the way, "I'm not the servant here, I'm not the least, I'm not going to wash anybody's feet." And maybe even the disciples that felt like maybe they were the least, maybe they just didn't want to give into it. "I'm not going to do it because I'm not the least." But Jesus takes the role of a servant. And if Jesus takes the role of a servant, then how hard would it be for us to take the role of a servant? To begin to serve people in the church, to begin to serve even people in the world. If we, and taking a role of the servant, both these kind of go hand in hand. As I said earlier, you have humility, you have servanthood, they go hand in hand. You humble yourself when someone has the right of way on the road and you say, "Go ahead." That's a humbling thing to do. You humble yourself when you're someplace and you stop to pick the dishes up. Not only among maybe your family, but you know, wherever you are, to look for an opportunity. See, I had said earlier, if churches do foot washing ceremonies, all kinds of churches do them. And I'm not down on them for doing that. They can do it all they want. I just don't think that's what God was saying to us. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is. I think that what he was saying to us is, let's be servants. We aren't thinking of ourselves as better than anybody else. We aren't thinking, "Boy, I'm the one who ought to be served." But that we are the ones who serve people, that we have that heart. Every once in a while, this you get as a pastor, all right? People look for churches. They hop around from church to church looking for churches. So they'll come up sometime and they'll say things like, "Well, we're looking for a church and we really wanted to know if you could share with us a few of the things that you have to offer." One of the things that I like to do is give them an answer. Kind of talk to them. Yeah, would you have kids? You have high schoolers. Let me tell you what's going on. But I also like to say, "Can I ask you a question? What do you guys have to offer us?" Just to kind of make a statement of maybe it's not so much about what we have to offer them or they have to offer us, but it really is about what we have to offer them and they have to offer us. It really is about us being servants, about them. If you're coming to the church, that you become a servant. It's not about whether or not we like the music or we like the volume of the music or we like, I know I'm getting on touchy subjects now, all right? I understand that. Hey, settle down. It's not about that. It's about how can we be servants? How can we really meet people's needs. And again, if we were a church that was really full of humility, if as leadership and people that are in ministry didn't see themselves as better than anybody else, and if when you got an office you realized, you know what, this office as a pastor or as a deacon or as an elder, that office only means that I'm a servant. I mean, that's what minister means anyway. That's what a minister is. A minister is a servant. We are serving in spiritual ways. And if we can do that, I think that we would make such a radical difference in the people that come through these doors. And I think that in the years to come, our church would become incredibly more effective for a couple of reasons. Number one, people will love to be around us, and I think servanthood is infectious. People get up and start to serve, then you have a tendency to get up and start to serve. Someone starts to clear off plates, other people have a tendency to get up and start to clear off plates. I think it would be infectious among us. Number two, when we humble ourselves, God exalts us. And when God exalts us, may it not be for us. May it not be for, boy, did you hear about that church, Calvary Chapel? May it not be for Robert Furrow. May it instead be for the glory of God. That God would exalt us so that we could be used by Him, that people would see in us, what does it say in Colossians? The mystery of Christ in you, the glory of God in you being revealed as we humble ourselves before Him and say, Lord, thank you. I'm so thankful that God has taken this topic and just drilled it into us in the scriptures over and over again so that we could say, Lord, I really want to be humble and I really want to be a servant. Help us to do that. Take the words of Jesus seriously. You see what I've done here? And if I've done this for you, then you do it for one another. And let's do it for the world around us. They'll see Christ in us. And I believe that God will exalt us so that we can share Christ in a more effective way than we ever have before. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this passage and this message. Thank you that you have spoken to our hearts and help us that we do not have false humility, that we don't run around kind of like just pointing attention to ourselves with a fake humility. We really want to walk humbly with you. We want to love people. We want to do justly. We want to treat people right all around us. We want to walk humbly with you. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would fill us and empower us. Give us opportunities that we could live in this concept of living for others, putting other people's interests above our own interests. Help us to live like that. We need your Holy Spirit to do that because we are just so prone to be selfish. If we could put other people's interests above our own interests, live for other people, we believe that you will do wondrous things, and we pray that you would. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Christian, you were called by God to influence our culture for Christ. The 2023 Defending the Faith Conference is happening March 6th through 8th in Tucson, Arizona. Learn from incredible pastors and leading experts like David Guzik, Greg Kokel, and Frank Turek, who will be sharing teachings that are biblical and highly practical. You will be equipped to answer the hardest questions Christians face. Register today to attend Defending the Faith, the 2023 Southwest Pastors and Leaders Conference, March 6th through 8th in Tucson, Arizona. Learn more and register at calvarytucson.com/conference. That's calvarytucson.com.